The Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the Twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "Well, we'll go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had taken it off and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with the fish on it, and bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come, have breakfast." Now, none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. The gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Yes, I skipped a little bit of the gospel text today, partly because I think that these are two stories. And I wanted to preach about this particular part of the story today. I wanted to preach about this. And I want to start with, "Alleluia, Christ is risen." Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. Now, there's one thing that has always stuck with me about this gospel lesson, the story of Jesus and his friends having breakfast on the beach. And shockingly, the most favorite part of mine is not the fact that they're having brunch, which is objectively the best meal. Amen? Let the people say amen. Rather, what sticks out to me is that I have heard so many sermons, many a sermon, expounding upon the idea that the disciples had been fishing all night, all day, but apparently on the wrong side of the boat. The wrong side of the boat, okay? A boat which is in water, which moves. In water, for fish, which move in water. Exactly, right? And so as I understand it, they were supposed to have been fishing out the other side of the boat for fish that move in water from a boat that's in water. It doesn't make any sense to me. It doesn't make any sense. And so the sermons that I heard growing up were about how if you were just obedient, if you just listened to Jesus, if you just cast your nets on the other side, everything would be fine. Everything would be fine and you would catch the fish and your nets would be full if only you would listen to Jesus. But here's the thing. Scripture tells us very clearly that the disciples did not know that it was Jesus giving them that message. They did not know that it was Jesus standing on the beach giving them that message. Listen again to today's lesson. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach. Jesus was on the beach. And the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. And he said to them, "Children, you have no fish." And they said, "No." And he said, "Put your nets on the other side of the boat." And they said, "Sure, let's fine. Let's do it." Okay. They did not know that it was Jesus. Okay. So all of those sermons that I heard that were like, if you just follow Jesus, everything's going to be fine. Forget that. Whatever. So a random guy on the beach said, "How about the other side of the boat?" And they said, "That sounds good. Let's try that." That's weird, right? And that's foolish, you might say. Do you remember how Thomas, who was late to dinner in the upper room, came and then did not want to appear foolish to his friends? Well, this time the disciples were more than happy to fool around, to fish around. They were more than happy to get something better. And again, they did not know that it was Jesus, okay? So what is this story about? What is it about? Why would these disciples listen to some guy on the beach and they didn't know that it was Jesus? So I don't think, to be clear, that this is about if you follow Jesus, you're going to have a net full of fish. I don't think that's what it's about. But I do think this is a story about being brave and about maybe something happened in their lives before they got to that beach. This is a post-resurrection story. And the scripture tells us it's the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples. The third time he has been resurrected. They were walking with him. They saw him crucified. They saw him resurrected. And for the third time, he was there with them. Something had to have happened within them for them to say, "Sure, let's cast our nets to the other side. Let's just try it in a different way, even if it felt foolish." Now, these disciples had reasons to be worried, right? They had reasons to be worried and reasons to be self-protective. They had reasons to not do it. So many reasons. And yet they were changed. They were changed by the time that they spent walking with Jesus. I think that those folks who had walked with Jesus came out the other side a little bit different. Do you feel that you, walking with Jesus, are a little bit different than you would have been if you had not? Do you? Amen?
Amen.
Please, I hope that we're saying that we're a little bit different now because we have walked with the crucified and risen Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So I think that they were there on the beach and they were hungry. And there was somebody saying, why not this? Why not try it? And I think because they had been there for the loaves and the fishes, and I think because they had been there with the wine and the water, and I think that because they had been there with Lazarus walking out of the tomb, and I think because they had been there with the little girl rising from the dead, I think because they had been there, they said, okay, why not try it? Why not try this new thing? Because they were changed. They were changed, and they were a little bit brave and a little bit foolish. A little bit foolish. So I read a story this week about a church in Oklahoma City where some of my family lives. And this is not a Lutheran church. It's not a denomination that we are a part of. This is a church from the Nazarene tradition. And they recently sent a message out to their members. This is a church that my parents-in-law attended during COVID because they had a really good Zoom worship service. And this really struck me. So I want to read to you a little bit of the pastoral message that was sent. Bear with me. As you may know, OKC First has been spiritually aligned with the Church of the Nazarene for many years. We have enjoyed a shared fellowship and collaborated in ministry, and each of us has benefited from the other's wisdom and friendship. Recently, however, things have changed. In particular, our insistence that God's love is inclusive and welcomes all who seek his grace and the Church of the Nazarene's opposition to our position has made it abundantly clear that we must part ways. This is a sad reality after so many years of faithful collaboration, and we have mourned this loss with many tears over the past weeks and months. Lament is the proper and faithful response to this painful reality, but if we cannot be true to our calling, then we cannot truly be who God calls us to be. There's a lot more of this letter, as you can imagine, but it ends this way. I hope you will all attend and vote to respond to the call of God to be the people, putting skin and flesh on our deep belief that God's mind about all of us is made up and the news is good. God's mind about all of us is made up and the news is good. Childcare will be provided. Hope to see you Sunday night. Pastor John Mildendorf. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God for Pastor John and for the bravery that he is showing. I can't imagine what he's going through right now. Thanks be to God for him. I want to pray for him so much. Thanks be to God because he has decided with his community to fish out the other side of the boat, right? Which doesn't make any sense to anybody. But it makes sense to them. And because they have been changed, because they have been following Jesus. And it makes me think of this community and the way that this community has sometimes said, we're going to do this foolish thing. We're going to do this today because we love Jesus and we have been changed. And the last bit from scripture, when the disciples fished out the other side of the boat, they brought in, what, 153 fish. I don't know the meaning of 153. Maybe somebody else who's better at scripture will tell me what that means. But what I do know is it says the nets were not torn, okay? They fished out the other side of the boat, and they brought them in, and the nets were not torn. Why is that important? Because the nets are about tomorrow. The nets are about, if you're a fisherman, you need to know that tomorrow you can fish again. The nets were not torn. And when we are brave and when we are foolish with our love and our exuberance for God, yes, the fish will come, but also our nets are not going to break. They're not going to break. We're going to have nets for tomorrow. We will love and our nets will not be torn. We will forgive and our nets will not be torn. We will include women in the pulpit and our nets will not be torn. We will include gay people and our nets will not be torn. And dear ones, we will practice mercy and love and forgiveness and generosity and still, say it with me, our nets will not be torn because God in her goodness is in the waters. God in her goodness is in the waters of life, of baptism, and God is with us to the end of the age. Thanks be to God. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen.